From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, September 5th, 2017. And on this day, Maine's congressional delegation, colleges and universities react to the Trump administration's announcement on DACA. And restoration on the birthplace of the poet Edna St. Vincent Millay. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Members of Maine's congressional delegation say they want Congress to act to keep the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA, in place. Mal Leary has details on that.
The DACA program, established by an executive order by President Obama, allows illegal immigrants that entered the country as minors to stay in the country through a renewable permit. President Trump thinks it's unconstitutional and wants Congress to address the issue. Congresswoman Shelley Pingree.
They're high school students, college students, starting their own businesses, productive Americans, serving, you know, want to serve in the military. We should not be doing this at this moment in time, and the president's actions are basically ridiculous.
Congressman Bruce Poliquin agrees with the president that DACA is an overreach of presidential authority, but supports legislation to prevent deportation of those covered by the program. Senator Susan Collins says Congress should act swiftly to protect those individuals from being deported. Senator Angus King says he is disappointed in Trump's decision, but hopes Congress will act to pass a long-term solution to the problem. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Some of Maine's higher education officials are opposing President Trump's proposal to phase out DACA, although the state's largest institution, the University of Maine system, is reacting more cautiously. Fred Bever has more.
The presidents of Bates, Colby, and Bowdoin Colleges all issued statements opposing Trump's proposal with varying degrees of condemnation. Bowdoin President Clayton Rose called it, quote, a profoundly disappointing decision. Bates President Clayton Spencer called it self-defeating. But the message from the University of Maine system was less critical. In a carefully worded press statement, System Board Chairman James Irwin said the uncertainty Trump's proposal might cause for students was, quote, important to us all. And he said the board was hopeful Congress would act to bring certainty for those who, quote, seek to better themselves by lawfully pursuing a Maine public higher education. A system spokesman said presidents of individual campuses would not speak to the media on the issue, but some students did.
We are going to be losing a lot of great potential Americans.
Samuel Bohr is a physics and math major at the Orono campus and a student representative to the system's board of trustees. He says the board's statement is softer than what the private schools are saying.
But because we are a state university and we get a lot of funding from the state and we also serve the state of Maine, we have to be a little bit more neutral.
In a recent system survey, fewer than 10 students self-reported having DACA status. How many might be attending without reporting that status is unknown. Meanwhile, the federal government reports that nearly 100 people with Maine addresses applied for and received initial residency documents through DACA since 2012. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
A Pulitzer Prize-winning poet experienced her first moments of life in a modest duplex in the mid-coast Maine city of Rockland. The plaque once boasted that Edna St. Vincent Millay, poet, was born in this house, but that plaque's since been removed, and over the years the house itself has fallen into disrepair under private ownership. Now, a local nonprofit's bringing the Millay House back to life and plans to use it as an anchor for a new annual festival of poetry, literature, and the arts in a town otherwise known for lobsters and limestone. Keith Shortall has more.
Large parlor here, shared front door and two side doors.
As a real estate agent, Michelle Gifford has seen a lot of houses in the Mid-Coast. But this duplex at 198 Broadway has a feature like no other listing in the world.
Exactly, exactly. Nothing money can buy.
Gifford says there is some debate about where in the house Millay's mother Cora gave birth on that cold winter night in 1892, but there's no question that this was the house.
She was only here for a short time, between 3 to 6 months, and then the family moved off to Union. But she was born here on February 22nd. There's a great story in one of the biographies about the bells ringing in the morning after the baby was born, and they all thought, well, the bells are ringing because the baby was born. And, of course, it was George Washington's birthday. We believe she was born here in the north side, and we can go into that house upstairs.
Gifford leads the way up a narrow staircase, and we step through the studs of a wall that once separated the two apartments and into a small bedroom in the front of the house that overlooks the street.
We believe this to be her birthroom. Looking east on the north side of the building, maybe the bed was here. According to the biography, Cora was seen to by a midwife and her younger sister, who was 11 years old, who actually ran through the snow to get the midwife in the middle of the night. So it's a great story, but we believe this to be the room, but there's no way to be sure.
The room still looks lived in, but much of the house has been stripped down to the studs and the original plaster walls removed.
I've learned recently they get to a point where they're just too dry to be stable anymore. There's no repair that you can do when they get to that point. They really just have to be replaced.
Dr. Lisa Westcamper, the treasurer for Millay House Rockland, says the project is part renovation, part restoration.
So we are going to try to go as authentic as we can, not to museum-level restoration, but to a level where we've nodded to the period, certainly.
The group's purchase of the house was made possible, in part, by a donation from Burt's Bees founder, Roxanne Quimby. And the group continues to raise funds to carry out its mission. Westcamper says the previous owners had removed the plaque, mounted with great ceremony in 1935, that read, Edna St. Vincent Millay, poet, was born here. But she says it's understandable that living privately in an historic birthplace can be a challenge when fans come knocking.
Especially if you have a plaque on the front that people are constantly coming by and taking pictures, knocking on the door saying, can I see the room? Can I see where was she born? What do you know? What do you know? And it's, you know, your home. It's your private home. You're not always willing to let the public just wander through at will.
The plaque, which had been donated to the Rockland Historical Society, will be remounted at the house on Wednesday. And Millay House Rockland members plan to use the site as an anchor for an annual festival that makes its debut this week. Local art gallery owner Tom O'Donovan, who serves as the group's president, says the festival will offer 35 events in venues that are within walking distance to a downtown that's undergone a renaissance over the past two decades.
So that now when you drive down Main Street, there are little banners that say, Welcome to Rockland, the art capital of Maine. 20-some years ago, that was a far-fetched dream. So with this place as a centerpiece, as a place that you can visit, we've gone forward and imagined and now brought into being a festival that celebrates literacy and all of the wonderful things that Edna stood for, coming out of this rural community, trailing that poetic energy behind her.
Highlights of the festival include several Millay biographers, U.S. Poet Laureate Tracy K. Smith, and the world premiere of the stage play Vincent. Michelle Gifford says it's only right that Millay and her connection to Maine be given a spotlight.
I think we're really pleased to be saving history. Edna St. Vincent Millay was a famous poet, iconic figure for women's liberation, for the world of poetry, literature, theater, and it seems like the right thing to do to keep that alive and bring it to a new generation.
Son, said my mother, when I was knee-high, you've need of clothes to cover you, and not a rag have I. There's nothing in the house to make a boy...
This is a recording of Millay reading Ballad of the Harp Weaver, the title poem of a collection for which she was awarded the Pulitzer Prize in 1923. The Millay Arts and Poetry Festival runs Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Rockland. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Keith Shortall.
When came the late fall, son, she said, the sight of you makes your mother's blood crawl. Little skinny shoulder blades sticking through your clothes. And where you'll get a jacket from, God above knows. It's lucky for me, lad, your daddy's in the ground and can't see the way I let his son go around. And she made it.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, September 5th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.